In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, amen. So I'll start by saying Merry Christmas to everyone. And it is beautiful to see the church so crowded. And I'm so happy to see the church so crowded from very, very early on. Maybe the people in the back aren't happy to see it so crowded, but Yanni, it's okay. It's just one night, kidda, and it's good. Makes us festal, kidda, and enjoy. I got to be honest with you. You guys know usually Abunab Shoy gives the sermon on these feast days, but today he asked me to give it. And I'm glad he asked me to give it, because believe it or not, I'm actually very excited this year about Christmas. Okay, usually Christmas doesn't get me up as much as like Easter does. Like, we all get up for Easter, but Christmas, you know, it's kind of in the middle, and you know, in theory it's cold outside, even if it's not cold in here. You know, so it's one of those things where we usually don't get excited, but for me this year, I've been very excited about Christmas for the past several weeks, because I really believe, okay, and I said it before and I'll say it again, for the past several weeks I've been saying, I believe God has something special for us on Christmas. I really believe that. I believe God has something, just like we said that God has a new life for us, a resurrection on the Feast of Resurrection. I believe God has a new start that he wants to give us as a church, that he wants to give us as a family, he wants to give me as his son and you as his daughter. So we have a good positive message for today. God wants to give us something good. The question that we need to ask ourselves, that I was asking, because all this time I've been saying God has something good on Christmas, God has something good on Christmas. I looked at my watch, it's January 6th, is about to be Christmas. Where's the good thing that I've been promising all these people, and where is it going to come from? Because I've been saying it's going to come. So today, we're going to find that good thing, and we're going to get some help from one of the characters in the Christmas story. You know, the Christmas story brings us many characters. Today I'm going to talk about the most important one. Now obviously, obviously Christ is the most important one. Saint Mary, Joseph, but just humor me, okay? Other than the main characters, who's the best, like, supporting actor in the story of the Christmas? You know, we have, like, for example, we have the shepherds. We have, like, the wise men. We have, like, the angels. The supporting characters. You know who the most important character is? And actually, if you're smart, as I was reading the gospel today, if you're smart, this character was actually the one who controlled today's gospel. The character who controlled today's gospel, his name was mentioned 5 times, and they're the ones who controlled it. Who? Close. Who? Nope. 5 times, someone said it. Very good. Our character is the star. Now, I know it's kind of a trick, but come on. It's Christmas. Play with me. Come on. Come on. Okay? The star is the main actor of today. If you were paying attention, the star is who controlled the story today. Because it starts off with some wise men in a faraway place, and the star tells them to go here. Here they have a conversation. The star tells them to go over there. And then when they get over there, they find Christ. The whole story is controlled by the star. Believe me, the star is the most underrated guy in this story. He never gets any credit. And you're laughing at me for talking about a star like a he, but follow me here and I'll show you why he's a he. Because without the star, the wise men would have never found Jesus. And if I look at myself as someone in this story, I want to be the wise men. And you want to be the wise men. Isn't that why we came to church? We came to church to find Jesus. We came, some people came 5 minutes away. Some people came 20 minutes away. There's some people here who came from states away. And we all came for the same reason, to find Jesus. Well, if you want to be a wise man, the wise men were great, but they were nothing without the star. The wise men wouldn't have even appeared in the story if it wasn't for the star. To understand the role of the star, we have to understand who the wise men were. Like I said, the wise men came from a far ways away. It says they came from the east. So we don't know exactly where they came from, but they came from like Asia somewhere. And they came all the way from the east side, and they traveled approximately 4 to 6 months through desert, through cold, through all kinds of difficulty to find our Lord Jesus Christ. They weren't Jewish. They weren't believers in anything. They didn't even know who they were coming to look for, because they didn't even know God. Maybe they had heard stories about God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob, heard of Red Sea, but they weren't followers of God. This is good news, okay? Because these people who found Jesus didn't go to church every single day. They didn't, like, have go to Sunday school their whole life, didn't memorize Bible verses. These are people who knew nothing before the day started. Who knew nothing, had no relationship with God, but by the end of this day, every one of us envies these wise men because they found the true gift. If I had to describe these wise men before the star, I would say normal people living a normal life in a normal way. Normal. These were normal people. These were not fanatics or weirdos. These were normal people. Had normal jobs, normal wives, normal kids, normal TV, normal routine, normal whatever. They had everything normal. But then one day, a star came to their life and everything was changed. How could a star change your life so much? Were these people funny? They look up at the stars and the stars change their life? Well, hey, this wasn't an ordinary star. If you follow the story of this star, you will see this was the coolest star in the history of all mankind. Because this star brought, follow me here, okay, on a map. I'm here in Asia. Asia, the end of like China, India, all the way over there. And there's a star that's above me. And I start following the star. And it's leading me west, west, all the way till I get to Jerusalem. Then it stops over Jerusalem. And it tells me to go in and have a meeting with the city kinds of people. And then all of a sudden, after I finish that meeting, the star makes a sharp left turn and starts to go south and south. What kind of star do you ever see do anything like that? See, sometimes the people who don't want to believe in the Bible say it was like a comet or it was no comet that goes west and then turns left at the Jew's house. And then this was a star sent by God. Okay, this was a miraculous kind of a star that the world has never seen. Let me read to you some of the verses that talk about this star in the beginning and the end of our gospel. Now after Jesus, this is the very beginning of the gospel, was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east. Okay? So we started this journey all the way on the east coast and the star brought us all the way over here. Then, verse 9. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. This is not an ordinary star. Stars don't go west, make a stop, hang out for a few days, and then start going south, and then stop over mangers. On top of that, apparently this star, which was doing backflips and doing all kinds of stuff, not one other person saw this star. You know why? Because this wasn't a star. This was much more than a star. The star was a messenger from God. And it was sent by God to the men to lead them to Jesus. The star was a messenger from God sent by God to the men to bring them to Jesus. Well, what do I care? So what? What does it have to do with me? You came here because you want to find Jesus. You came here. I know you. You came here like I came here. Because I want a new life with Jesus. Because all this fasting of Advent, I've been up here, Abun of Shoy's been up here, we've been all saying the same thing. New start. New life. Something new happens on Christmas. Something new has to happen. Again, it's not a birthday party that we're celebrating. We're celebrating a new life. Something that didn't exist yesterday exists today. Something new. The wise men had a normal life, normal, 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 normal. They find a star, they follow the star, it leads them to Jesus, no more normal life. New life begins this day. I believe that just as God sends a star to these wise men to lead them to Jesus, God sends a star to me to lead me to Jesus and leads me to the new life. The question that I got to ask myself is what's my star? The star is a customized thing. Like I said, no one saw this star except these three wise men. The only people that this star was for these three guys. And you also have a star that God sends into your life. God works in custom ways. Remember when Moses and the people of Israel were in the wilderness? God sent them a star to lead them through the wilderness. What was the star? Pillar of fire and pillar of cloud. When Joseph, Old Testament Joseph, when God wanted to lead him, God sent him a star through his dreams. Abraham, God spoke to him. Jacob, God wrestled with him. God sends stars to each one of us, individual stars, customized stars, to take me where he wants me to go. And I believe that he will send one for you as well, to take you to that new life that he wants you to get to. The whole story of Christmas like His Holiness Pope Shenouda just said so eloquently and so beautifully, is about God coming near to me so that I can come near to Him. That's what Christmas is. God came near to me so that I can come near to Him. So God comes near to us, but He knows that most of us aren't that sharp on our own. So He sends us a star to bring us the next step. From God's perspective, the thought of Him being in Bethlehem in a manger and you being in Asia, living your normal life in front of your normal house and your normal kids and your normal wife, that's a painful thought to Him. A very painful thought. That He's coming all the way to this little manger and you're sitting comfortably with your feet up over there and sipping on the hot cocoa and all that kind of stuff. It's too painful. So God sends a star. You may never recognize your star. Your star may be a person. Your star may be a sermon. Maybe a book. Maybe a Bible study. Your star may be something painful. Oftentimes. Now let's get to the truth here. Look back at 2007. Look back at 2007. Had good moments. Had painful moments. I'd be willing to bet you, even though I don't bet, but if I did, that those painful moments were stars. Those painful moments usually are stars. It's God seeing you kicking back in your normal life, doing your normal business, your normal school, your normal work, your normal relationships, your normal, and He down there in the Bethlehem and saying, you know what, I don't want to hurt Him, but it hurts me too much for Him to be asleep. I got to wake Him up. And God sends those painful things. He loves us too much to see us waste our life chasing money, chasing pleasure, chasing the stupid things in this world that won't last. He loves us too much to see us not paying attention to the most important thing in the world, which is our eternal life and our spiritual life. He loves us too much. Has to send a star. Star. Sometimes it's a bright star. Sometimes it's a sharp star. Sometimes it's a pointy star. But you better believe there's a star. But this is a good thing. We should appreciate the star. Because like I said, we all want to get to Jesus, but we can't get there on our own. Sometimes we think we're misguided. And we think that God tells us, come to me, and He doesn't give us any directions. I remember there was a time me and my wife went on a vacation. We have titled this vacation, officially, the worst vacation in the history of the world. We went to a foreign country where they didn't speak English. Mistake number one. We booked a hotel, which they said isn't that far away from the airport. Mistake number two. It was much further than we expected. And then the worst part was, we go rent a car. I'll never forget that salesman. May God have mercy on that salesman. I told him the address I'm trying to go. First of all, I'm trying to get any kind of Spanish I had 4 years of Spanish in high school and zilch. I couldn't remember one word at this moment in time. Complete waste of my time. I'm trying to get him to give me directions. Give me directions to this place. I'm a foreigner. I don't know nothing. May God have mercy on that guy. Because what he did, he gave me one of them standard rent-a-car maps. He circled where I need to go, and he circled where I am, and there was approximately, turned out to be like a 6-hour drive between the two. Circled the 2 points, gave me the keys, and knew he was sending me off to only God knows where. If I ever came back, this guy didn't care if I ever come back. Thankfully, okay, after approximately, no joke, this is why it's the worst vacation of all time, 13 hours. No joke, 13 hours, okay, we finally made it, but it was a risky adventure, to say the least. This salesman didn't care about me. Gave me a map. Good luck, buddy. Hopefully you make it. And he smiled and he laughed and he watched me go off to my death, basically. God is not like that. Don't ever think God is like that. God sends a star with us. And He says, okay, you have a long journey. And it's probably going to take you a long time. I'm going to lead you. And the star is going to go west, stop for a little bit, tell you hang out, north, south, whatever. But God doesn't leave us. Because the bottom line is, you must understand this statement. God wants you to find Him more than you want to find Him. This is one of the most important facts of life that is so comforting and reassuring in those times where you're lost and confused and whatever. is that God wants you to find him more than you want to find him. So take comfort in knowing the star will be there. You just need to find it. When you find that star, Luke chapter 2, verse 10 through 11, tells you how you should react towards your star. Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Don't be scared of your star. Don't be scared. Your star may be tough. Your star may take you to a faraway land. Don't be afraid. The star is really going to get you to a good place where there's a Savior to save you from whatever. There's no problem a Savior can't save you from. Our thing is, we need to learn how to respond to the star. Okay? And I'm going to tell you what the wise men did with their star, and that's going to be the model for us to do with our star. They did three things. Find it, follow it, and faith it. It's really have faith in it, but I wanted three F's. Okay? So find it, follow it, and faith it. Have faith in it. First is find it. Like I said, to me the saddest part of this story is you got Gentiles who didn't know God, who had never worshipped God, maybe never read a verse in the Bible in their life, never gone to church one day, and these people came from 6 months' journey away, hundreds of miles, and less than 6 miles from that same spot, you had the high priest, the scribes, the Pharisees, all the religious leaders, all the good people, all of us, the church people, who were in church. And not one of them saw the star. That's sad. Why didn't they see the star? How could they have missed it? How could anyone miss this star that's dancing in the sky like that? You don't know how they missed it? Easy. They weren't looking for it. They didn't care about a star. They weren't looking at a star. They were content where they were. Why do they need a star? A star is only going to tell me to move. And I'm sure they looked at that star. Maybe they saw it in the sky and said, oh, that's a nice star. You know, maybe tell, hey, you know, take a picture and move on with life. Let's watch what's on the news today. Time to get back on with regular life. And you know what? The wise men could have done the same thing. That's why I give the wise men credit. The wise men saw the star. They could have noted it, jotted it down, gave it a funny name, and claimed that star as their star, and gone back to their life as normal. But they didn't do that. They were smart enough to realize this star must be here for a reason. They were smart enough to realize this star in my life must have a purpose. Can't be by accident. This and this and this and this happened to me in 07. It can't be by accident. Come on. It can't be by accident. It got to be God trying to wake me up. No such thing as accidents or circumstances or coincidences. These wise men were smart enough to find that star. Easily they could have done like we would do, say, who cares? Back to life as usual. But they didn't. Second thing they did is they followed it. Now think about this decision they made to follow their star. This was a painful decision, which made them leave their homes, their couches, their family, their job, take an unpaid leave of absence, someone had to get their mail, and who's going to feed their cat, and they're going to miss the Skins game on a Saturday, and this was a painful decision they made to follow this star. They had to leave everything behind, and 6 months was just one way. Let me ask you a question. Are you willing to follow your star? Because you know, the first part of find the star, I met a lot of people who say, you know what, Abun Anthony, God must be doing something in my life. Or, you know what, this can't be random. God must be doing something. And that's it. You know the saddest thing to see, I'm sure Abun Bishwar would say the same thing? Someone who sees their star, knows what they need to do, but is just unwilling to break the routine. You know, I'm just set in my routine. Next year, I find the star next year. Or, you know, like, let me finish this tough season at work, then I'll find my star. I know I need to come to church. I know I need to pray. I know I need to read the Bible. I know, but it's just like a busy time right now. So, after a little bit. That's who the religious leaders and the Pharisees and the priests were. Didn't want to take the time to see what's behind that star and where does it lead. Find the star, follow the star, faith in the star. Have faith and be patient. How long did this journey take these wise men to find what's at the bottom of the star? Like I said, about 6 months. And believe me, those were a difficult 6 months. And I'm sure there's many days during them 6 months, they said, you know what? What's the point? Let's quit. There's nothing. Why we keep chasing this star? It's not going anywhere. What's the point? Let's just quit and go home. We did our job. I'm sure there was many times, but they never did. And I'm glad they didn't, because the result of it, in the last verse of the gospel, it said, then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. You know what another way is? That's the new life. That's what I told you in the beginning. That's the new life. That's the revival. That's the change. That's the new start. They found a new start, and their life was never the same. These people who didn't know God, who were pagans, who never went to church, who never prayed a prayer in their life, found a star on this Christmas day. They followed that star, and their life was never the same. And I believe that God's message is the same to every one of us. You know what? There's a lot of us. Maybe we've been far from God. Maybe we strayed. Maybe we did foolish things. Maybe we know, and everyone around us knows, we need a new start. Everyone around us knows, and we know we need a new start. You know what? Good news for you today. Glad tidings, great joy, Savior born to you. Just find your star, follow your star, have faith in your star, and you'll find something good. Technically, my sermon is done here. However, there's a second page. Okay, you know when I have a sermon, I always one page. Okay? And the reason why it's a second page, I promise you, I didn't want to read this page. But I felt God telling me, I don't want to read this, and you don't want to hear it. Because this is answer the question, what if I don't follow my star? It's only 3 lines. I wanted to skip it. But the readings today told me that I can't skip it. Because if you paid attention to the readings, you notice something. Came to church today expecting the readings, fun, joy, glory. Every one of the readings contained a warning. A sharp warning. And you remember what the axe was? Remember what the axe? Remember the axe. Always listen. The axe is the easiest one to understand. So always pay attention to the axe. Sorry, a lot of papers. Sorry. The axe spoke about the Jews. Okay, it didn't speak about Christians at all. And it spoke about the Jews who ignored their Savior. It says, men and brethren, sons of the family of Abraham, those among you who fear God, to you this word of salvation has been sent. For those who dwell in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they did not know him, nor even the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath, have fulfilled them in condemning him. And it goes on to say how they killed him. The Acts of the Apostle didn't have any message of joy or hope. It said one thing. It said there was before a group of people who saw this so great a salvation, had this star sent to them, and they didn't listen, they didn't find their star, and they killed him. And talk about how their blood is on their head for all of eternity. The reading of the Catholic epistle. Anyone pay attention to the Catholic epistle? No one paid attention to the Catholic epistle. Listen carefully, okay? It's 5 verses, and the first 3 say one word over and over and over. You listen to what that word is. Therefore, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know them and are established in the present truth. Yet, I think it is right, as long as I'm in this tent, to stir up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as the Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. What was the message of the first 3 verses of this 5-verse reading? Said, I'm reminding you, reminding you, reminding you. And then the last verse says that Jesus is the King, born in excellent glory. Don't miss the star. And then the one that was most powerful was from the Pauline epistle to the Hebrews. First, we read all of chapter 1 of Hebrews, and then the first four verses of chapter 2. Chapter 1 was all about who Jesus is, Son of God. You know he's the Son of God, right? This is not, a news flash. Jesus is Son of God. Jesus is King of Kings. That's why you're here. Read the first four verses of chapter 2. Speak for themselves. It says, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? I'm not making that up. I didn't want to read this page. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him, God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders and various miracles, and, you can say, and various stars. Look here. There's a verse, or not a verse, a prayer that we pray. We prayed three times today. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and blessed are your ears, for they hear. I love this prayer. The message today is, a star has been sent to give you a new life. Life of joy. Life of hope. Life where you return back to your home tonight another way. And if you find it, you follow it, you faith it, great reward. But if you neglect it, go ask the wise men who came from 6 months' travel, and the Jews who sat 6 miles away, what happens if you neglect it? Glory be to God forever. Amen.